Welcome. You are listening to the podcast of Transform Church Philly. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, so glad you're with us today. My name is Joey, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at the Block Church, which is a local church here in Philadelphia. And I'm really honored and grateful that Pastor Bodie has asked me to minister to you. And so my prayer today is that God reaches you right where you're at. And I'm excited for God's word today. I hope you are. I believe God's going to speak to you. And if you're a guest with us today, I'm not the lead pastor. There's a great one and a good friend of mine, Pastor Bodie. So again, thanks for having me. And a few weeks ago, it was my birthday. I turned 35 years old. And they say officially that's the end of your youth. At least that's what they're telling me. And so turned 35, had a great time. And I was really blessed by all the words of encouragement. I don't know if you have celebrated a birthday during the pandemic, but I guess at this point, most of us probably have. But it was a little weird, couldn't celebrate with everybody. However, the people that were there really were the people that really mattered the most to me. And while we were there, we were just talking about different things, a few of us who were celebrating. And one of the things that we were talking about was one of our staff members at our church. He had came here from a different church, and he had worked there for a long time and then came on staff at our church. And one Sunday on the Block Church's anniversary, this was several years ago, he was doing announcements, and he got up there and he was like, "And by the way, happy birthday, Life Church." Now, we're not called Life Church, but he was thinking by default, he was saying happy birthday, Life Church, when he should have been saying happy birthday, the Block Church. And it was really funny, and I've never not given him a hard time for that. But I was just thinking, why did he say happy birthday, Life Church, not happy birthday, the Block Church? Probably because it was in his mind. I don't think it was vindictive. I don't think it was on purpose. It was probably just default. He had been a part of that organization for so long that he couldn't help but just celebrate and say what he previously knew. Now, I think that there's a spiritual correlation to that. I think a lot of us, unfortunately, by default, we think about Christianity and we think about the church a specific and particular way. By default, we have bad thoughts. By default, we have bad ideas. By default, we've got hurts. We've got pains and shames when it comes to the church or Christianity. And so then we make these declarations and we make these proclamations that aren't fully true. There might be parts of it that are true and caught up with man pains and man hurt, but they're not the truth. It's not the source of what it is. And today, I want to help you, I want to remind you, or for the first time, get your heart back in the right place and your mind back in the right place of understanding that the church of Jesus, the Christianity, it's better than you thought. It's better than you remember. And I know that the pandemic has forced so many of us outside of a rhythm of church going or even watching or connecting. But I want to remind you today, this thing, God's plan, his plan, the vehicle that he uses to bring Jesus to the world, his church, his plan A, B, C through Z, it's better than you thought. And that's the title of my message today. It's better than you thought. So come on, type that in the chat right now. It's better than you thought. You can even say happy birthday or happy belated birthday, but just let me know that you're still engaged, all right? I'm going to be watching the chats whenever this goes live. So Christianity or going to church, we say we believe in God, and some of us keep good Easter and Christmas traditions, but I think we've put Jesus in a box. And let me just remind you what Christianity is. Can I remind you for a second? Christianity is the Good Samaritan picking up the stranger, not the religious leader pounding his chest and skirting by. Christianity is Jesus forgiving the thief on the tree and going into the evil tax collector's home. Christianity is a life radically transformed by love, not a life radically in pursuit of recompense. Christianity is an unworthy group of sinners and saints who don't have it together, but stay together to experience mercy, mission, and miracles. That's what Christianity is. And again, I know that over time and through the regular rhythms of our life, we can forget how good this thing is, that we are sinners saved by grace, and that we don't deserve the kind of blessing and the goodness of God in our lives, and we take it for granted. Or again, going back to my original point, because of default, because of what something's happened in your life, we think that Christianity or church is one thing. It's associated with a man, someone trying to get my money, someone trying to get my stuff, someone trying to manipulate me, whatever it is. But I'm here to tell you it's better than that. It's you and I, the thief next to Jesus, not deserving life, not deserving hope, not deserving grace, not deserving goodness, and still getting it anyway. And I'm grateful for that. It's better than I thought. So I want to, today in our brief moments, I want us to take a look at Christianity and the church, and I want to talk about them together. Because you really can't separate them. Here's how we know. Okay, first of all, church is not a building. Church is not a place to go. It's not a destination. It's not a building. The church is people. So living on mission in this glorious community has great benefits, far greater than we thought. Life as a believer, when lived together, is way better than we thought. So let me illustrate it like this, okay? Going to church or even watching church doesn't make you a Christian as much as standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Now, in Philadelphia, in our city, a lot of us don't have garages. We have a vehicle that's parked up on a curb getting slammed in its bumper right now as I speak. So I would say, you going to church or watching your car get hit by somebody else, it doesn't make you a Christian as much as that car, or as much as you standing next to it makes you a car. But I would say also being a Christian without going to church or without rooting yourself in church is like running a marathon but never doing any training prior. You can win, but it's highly unlikely. Let me re-navigate that illustration. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian as much as standing next to a car makes you a car. However, being a Christian without going to church is like running a marathon but never doing any training prior. You can win, but it's highly unlikely. And the point that I'm making is a lot of us try to disassociate with the church because culturally the church, especially right now, has a bad name and a bad idea. But I'm here to tell you that life is a race. It's a journey. The Bible explains it as such. And if we don't have a church community, if we don't have other believers in our life spurring us on, we might be able to win. We might get to heaven. But man, it's highly unlikely. I'm not standing here before you today without the Church of Jesus. There's just no way without the people of God spurring me on in my life. So let me give you a little context about the church. Where does it come from? Well, it's the word ecclesia. It means assembled and called out. In Acts 2:46, the Bible says that they worshiped together regularly at the temple each day. They met in small groups and homes for communion, and they shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. It's an assembly. It's a gathering point. It's you in your home with somebody else. It's you in a facility when this ends. It's you. It's one another. It's together. It's also called out, ecclesia. It's the assembled and called out. It means set apart, different, and holy. And in 1 Peter 2:9, the first part of it, I chose to use the King James Version because I like one of the words. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people." That word peculiar is important for us because at the end of the day, when people look at you and I, if we call ourselves Christians, it's not that they should see something weird that's not relatable, but they should see something unique and mysterious that is attractive, that draws them in and says, how is it that we can all be going through hell right now, but you're experiencing heaven on earth? doesn't mean that everything's perfect. In fact, there are people, Christians, who are in hospital rooms with more peace and with more of God's presence and heaven in their life than people who are fully healthy going through hell. Why? Because the peculiar people have a mystery, an understanding, a peace, a confidence, a grace that what we have is way better than we thought. And that should be attractive to the world. So again, I'm encouraging you today, I'm reminding you today that what we have in Jesus, the church of Jesus, we really can't separate that from Christianity. And the church is better than we thought. And I want to encourage you today, if you're not rooted and planted, think about being planted in this community. And with the short time I have left, I want to walk us through Psalm 92. And it's a powerful passage. In fact, the passage is what Jewish people would often gather and sing or recite out loud on their Sabbath. It's a powerful passage reminding their community of the goodness of being a part of their community and the great benefits they have in being righteous and being under and with God. So let me read this. I'll walk verse by verse. Verse 12, the Bible says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon." That's a good passage. I like it. The righteous, Christians, believers, will flourish like a palm tree. Does it mean we'll be waving in the wind, looking all skinny and fit in Miami? Maybe not necessarily. We'll grow like cedar. We'll be strong like Lebanon. What does that mean? Well, before I define it, verse 7 states, and I won't go there, but if you back up, verse 7 states that the wicked have their day in the sun. They flourish too. But it's not sustainable and it leads to destruction. You've heard the passage that says it rains on the just and the unjust. But what verse 7 is outlining, that the wicked do, you see the wicked prosper, but it's not sustainable. And what the passage is suggesting is that the righteous will sustain, and their growth and the goodness of God will sustain in their life far beyond the season. I'll prove it to you. The scripture mentions two trees. Flourish like a palm, grow like a cedar. Palm is the symbol of victory and triumph. Cedar is durable, attractive, and a pleasant fragrance. Both of them are evergreens. So if you're a plant person, God bless you. This message is for you. Both are evergreens, and evergreens thrive and produce life all year long. Now stay with me. A palm, it's the symbol of victory. We see that even on Palm Sunday as they're declaring Christ as king. Right? Palm, victory. Cedar, durable, attractive. A pleasant fragrance. Both are evergreens. They thrive and they produce life all year long. The scripture is saying that righteous people, we will represent and experience victory in our life. It will say that we will be durable and strong, and our worship and our life will be a pleasant fragrance to heaven and to earth, to others. And ultimately, you and I have the ability, the promise, this is why it's better than you thought, to thrive all year long. It's not seasonable. What I'm saying is, in the worst scenarios and the worst situations in a worldwide pandemic and struggle and economic strife and trial, you are promised an ability to thrive all year long, good and bad, up and down, everything in between. That's the promise of God. It's better than you thought. It's the promise of God over God's people. And I know you're sitting here going, "Well, I'm not thriving right now. I just lost my job. I'm sick. I have COVID." You can go through the gamut where things are painful, but you understand that thriving and winning is more about an attitude, a moxie, a perspective. And what I'm telling you is God can use the worst, most challenging circumstances for your good and for his glory. That's a promise in scripture. See, Christianity and the church being connected, it's better than you thought. You can be strong and durable and thrive, be a fragrance to God and to the world all year long. And when we talk about righteousness, Martin Luther, who is the great reformer, I'm not talking about Martin Luther King Jr., but the reformer who gave us the ability, really, in a lot of ways, to read the scriptures. In 1518, he writes his paradigm. And there's two forms of righteousness, Coram Deo, Coram Mundo. Coram Deo is living life in the presence of God. It's right relationship with God. In other words, you and I, we can do nothing to earn it. God's grace is sufficient. We walk in it, we receive it, Coram Deo. But Coram Mundo is right relationship with the rest of creation. This is done through man's actions. We serve our neighbor, our community, our nation, our church. So the people of God are a righteous people. We're supposed to reflect righteousness. And we cannot separate rightness with God and rightness with each other. And we flourish when we're living righteously together. And in this season, it's been super easy to disconnect from each other. It's been super easy to be mad at everybody. Mad because of politics, mad because of pain, mad because of struggle, disconnect, disassociation, not want to be labeled, not want to be canceled, all these different things. But can I tell you, we cannot separate our righteousness with God and our righteousness with each other. The calling to do justice, the calling to provide mercy, the calling to give kindness, the calling to love. And as we do those things in the house of God, we learn it. From the people of God, we learn it. As we do those things, we experience righteousness and we bring that in our earth and in our communities. See, the beauty of the house of God and God's people is we learn this stuff together and then we go act on it. It's Coram Deo and Coram Mundo functioning together. And when that happens, the world around us becomes better than we thought it could. So I want to encourage you today, don't separate your righteousness with God without your righteousness with each other, because if you do, it becomes pride, and then it becomes an idol. And then it's hard for us to flourish. You know, second part of the scripture, verse 13 says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. I love that because God's vision for his people and for his church has always been to be rooted and planted in a central place of corporate worship, a place of his presence. You're doing that right now. You're watching a place, an expression of the church. There's the big C, the capital church, the Church of Jesus Christ, but then there is local church as an expression. I have one, the block church. You have one, your church, right? And it's a local expression. This is a place where believers are planted and bringing people who aren't yet planted. It's a place of remembrance. It starts with the garden, it evolves into the temple, it develops into the church, and it continues forever in heaven. God wants us, listen to me, God wants us planted in a specific house. If we're not yet, if you stumbled on this church, we would love to help you get planted. But if this is not your cup of tea, then let us know. We want to help you get planted because believers are meant to plant and root themselves in the courts of God. And that's how we flourish. And there's a simple roadmap to be planted, by the way. The roadmap to being planted is one in which they've been doing forever. You understand that the church has been doing this stuff forever. They've been gathering, they've been eating together, they've been fellowshipping, they've been connecting, they've been in homes, they've been loving each other, serving the poor, feeding programs, serving each other, giving generously, sacrificially. There's a model for it. Ultimately, you need to attend and attend your church or watch your church more than you miss it. You need to serve in some capacity like Jesus. You need to connect with each other and connect by inviting others into the fold and give. Give generously and sacrificially. This is what the church has done for thousands of years. And guess what? When the pandemic ends, it's these things that will last. This is not going away. And if you want to flourish, you connect in and plant and root yourself. We worship and we hear the word together. We hold the hand of somebody. We are convicted together. We hug, we grow, we serve together. We experience the joys of seeing others' lives transform. We're getting groups. We evangelize together. We see the impact of our giving together. See, going to church or watching church, it's not the same as being planted. When you're going, when you're just a goer, when you were just a consumer, you go to church when you can, when you're not busy, when you're not tired, when there's no gain. But people who are planted, God's church isn't a part of their lives, it is their lives. God's church shouldn't just be a part of your life, it should be your life. The question is today, is it your life? Are you centered? Is God's church, is Christ in the middle of your life and you build everything else around it? Or do you fit God in somewhere? Because if you do, it's impossible to flourish. But when you do, it's way better than you thought. See, when we're in the house of God, we grow. Did you know that your life is a seed? It has potential. It has potential to grow, to multiply, to thrive, to produce fruit. But it also has the potential to be unfruitful, to be dormant, to be unproductive, to be barren. Wherever you plant, you are planted, you will grow or you will wither and die. So the question today is not if you're planted, it's where you're planted. Because where you're planted makes all the difference. See, you have to think about where you're planted and what soil your life is in. And some of us, our life is rooted in identities that are not of God. Our life is rooted in success, in politics. Our life is rooted in chasing something or relationships. And you're planted in things that don't produce the kind of fruit that God's promised, and you're not flourishing. Why? Why? Because it's not if you're planted, it's where you're planted. And my encouragement, my hope for you today is take an inventory of your life and what you spend your time on, where you're planted, and say, am I planted and rooted in the house of God with the people of God? Because when I am, I'm strong, I'm flourishing, I'm growing, and I'm producing life, not just for me, but for others. I'm bringing heaven to earth. When we're planted, when our hearts are soft, it's way better than we thought. You know, when you are uprooted, see, this is how you know you're planted in a church. That when it's time to go, when God calls you on for the right reasons, when you've got to move out of state, it should hurt when you're uprooted. It should be painful when you're uprooted. Why? Because you've planted your roots deep. It should really hurt and a good hurt. A lot of us haven't planted ourselves so deep that we just stop in for a moment, go somewhere else, and then we're mad. We stop in for a moment, we go somewhere else, then we're mad. We stop in for a moment, we go somewhere else, and we've never planted and rooted our lives. And then our roots are not strong, and we're not producing long-term, durable, sustainable fruit. When you plant yourself, it's better than you think. And finally, as I close, the last part of this says that they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He's my rock. You know, recently we just watched the Super Bowl, and I know he's a controversial person to like because he's won so much, but Tom Brady at 43 years old won another Super Bowl. And personally, I think he's the best ever, but what is extraordinary to me is that he's 43, still hungry, still producing, still great. It's remarkable. You can't deny that. I think the point is I want to be better at 43. I want to be better at 50. I want to be better at 70. And I hope I can do anything as good as he does at 43. I want my fruit to keep accumulating, compounding, to be even sweeter to the Lord and to his people. I want to do better ministry in 20 years. I want to do better ministry tomorrow. I want to keep growing. The older I get, the more wise I want to become. And we see that a lot with people who are older, that there is great wisdom from experience and for life, but we also see people who have a lot of regret. And I would hate that for you. I would hate that for me, that I get to a point in my life where I've got a lot of regret because I didn't root myself and plant myself. I didn't experience and walk in the righteousness with God and with others. But the promise of Scripture is that in old age, you and I can and will prosper. Why? Because being the church is not just about being saved from sin. It's about being saved for greater glory. And when we stop thinking about church and thinking about Christianity is about what can I get? What can God do for me? How can I be blessed? How can I gain stuff? And we start thinking about, I'm not just saved for my own glory and my own good. I'm saved so that I can produce greater glory and produce fruit for others. When we start to live like that with eternity in our mind, with generations in our mind, with legacy in our mind, man, I'm telling you, you're going to keep producing fruit for as long as you live. So what's the fruit you're going to bear? It's life transformed. And then it's participating in someone else's transformation of life. In this season, you should still be inviting people to church. You should still be inviting people to watch with you. And when you see somebody's life change, there's no greater reward. When you see your kids be discipled and following Jesus or coming back to Jesus, there's no greater reward. And when we're older and when we do this, we're going to love people better. When we're older and when we do this, we're going to love Jesus more. When we're older and we do this, the reward of this, we're going to have better marriages. We're going to be better at finances. We're going to make better decisions. We're going to create things that change society. We're going to impact communities. We're going to bear great fruit together. In John 15:5, and I'm closing with this, it says, Jesus, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it's he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The reality is God's promised that the righteous will flourish. He's promised that when we're rooted in the house of God with the people of God, we're going to flourish. He's promised that even in our old age, we're going to flourish. We're going to thrive. We're going to be durable in the midst of the most challenging circumstances. We're going to produce fruit from a hospital bed, from a pulpit, from a workplace. Wherever you are, you can produce fruit. That's God's promise over you. But the only way to do that is to abide in Jesus, to be connected to him, to not make your Christianity or your church experience about other people, what somebody's done, how somebody's hurt you, how somebody's failed you, what the church isn't. Go abide in him and see the possibility. That's my hope for you today, that you were reminded that walking with God and being a part of his church, it's way better than you thought. If you're far from Jesus today, if you don't have a relationship with him, all you need to do is just talk to him, invite him. Say, I want to come home. I want to begin a journey with you, Jesus. And if that's you, you want to say yes to God today, I just want to encourage you to whisper a prayer to heaven, and one of the team members here will reach out to you. Let us know. Send us an email. Connect card is dropping. And we'd love to walk with you further. If you're not connected at this local church, if you're not serving yet or connecting or giving or attending regularly, make this be the start. And watch your life change and watch the lives of others change. I love you. God bless you. Thanks for being a friend to our church. And if there's any way we can support you guys, we want to be a part of that. Remember, it's better than you thought. God bless. Pastor Bodie, take it away.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Wow, what a rich word. Pastor Joey, thank you so much for blessing us and investing in Transform Church today. Man, what was your favorite part? What was your favorite part of this sermon? What encouraged you? What challenged you? Where did God open your eyes to see something that you need to change in your life? I love that verse, Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Come on, it's such an important truth. We have to allow God, to God's spirit, to plant us in his heart, in his heart, yeah, but in his house, right? In his house. Come on, we do this by generosity. Come on, by serving, and then by engaging fully in community. And so, man, today kicks off our season one for 2021 of T groups. Man, jump into a T group. Come on, allow God to plant you. Allow God to help you develop deep roots. This is the great church. This is an amazing community of faith to be a part of. But how much we get out of it really is up to us, and that's determined by how well we allow God to plant us. Let me say it again. What we get, I believe this is there's an anointing on this church. There's a blessing on this church. There's good things happening. Miracles are breaking off every week at our church. But how much you get out of Transform, this community, is really determined by how well you let the Holy Spirit plant you. That's your choice. That's your choice to let God plant you. Plant you in this place. So, man, a great opportunity to deepen your roots at our church is through our T groups. We're going to invite our worship team back. They got a song to lead us in as we respond to the sermon. Take this time, man, to prayerfully consider. Log on if you can on the side, if you can, to our T groups and find a group for you. Groups kick off this week, and man, we are anticipating God moving, God deepening, God causing his people to thrive and flourish through our groups. So, man, Ladies and gentlemen, don't sleep on our groups. Don't miss out. Don't make excuses. Make room. Come on, that's what we say. Stop making excuses. We're too busy. You got too much going on. No, stop making excuses and start making room for God. Look at your calendar. Find a group that fits, a soap group or a discussion group, and jump in. Meet people. Make friends. Meet God through other people. Hey, listen, we're praying for you. Let's worship God together, and then we'll come back, close service with a smile. See you soon.
This has been a podcast of Transform Church Philly. New episodes are produced every week, so check back often. You can find details about services and other upcoming events by visiting us at our website, transformphilly.church. Have a great day.